Our reading for September 29th is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in his sufferings as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuit, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So Paul describes to Timothy here, going back to verse 1, that Timothy needs to be strengthened, and we need to remember the fact that even those that are mature, even those that know the word well, even those that are tasked with teaching the word to other people, still have a need to grow. They still have a need to strengthen their faith. We should never begin to neglect ourselves so that we stop working on that maturity and growth that should occur throughout our lifetime, all the way until we stop breathing upon this earth. Verse 2, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So not only is he to be teaching the congregation or the people in some sort of assembly or group setting, but he's also supposed to be making sure that there are people that are learning these things, men that will be able to carry on the work of teaching, that they will be able to pick it up from here and continue to teach. It should not end with Timothy. Paul taught Timothy, and Timothy is now teaching, and Timothy needs to make sure that other people are beginning to take that role as well. And we should not feel like we are compelled to teach. James says, be not many teachers, but at the same time, if we have any affinity or any ability, we need to feel some sort of obligation to carry on for the next generation. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to, you know, train men that become preachers, but it means that we need men that are well-grounded in the faith, well-grounded in the Word, so that they can do teaching of some sort of type. For remember that one of the qualifications for an elder is to be apt to teach. So if they cannot teach at all, then they will not also be able to qualify for elders. And then you've got another problem of a whole generation in which there are no men qualified. And many congregations have found themselves in that position yet today. So he needs to impart these things so that others can teach. Verse 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And he begins to illustrate this. He says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So in other words, the soldier stays focused on what his task is. And when he's given his orders, he goes out there and he carries out those orders without delay, without distraction. He doesn't stop along the way to see what everybody else thinks about the orders. He doesn't stop along the way to see if maybe there's something else he could do instead. No, he carries out what he was given to do. Verse 4, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. If athletes start breaking the rules, then they are disqualified. Think back to the controversy with the cyclist who overcame cancer and won the Tour de France several times, Lance Armstrong. He was looked at as one of the greatest athletes in cycling, and then he turns around and it comes out that, you know, he was doing things that maybe weren't directly against the rules, but they were technically against them. He claims that lots of sponsorships. So an athlete that doesn't follow the rules, even if they did win a race, they're going to be disgraced. They're going to have it taken away from them. And so an athlete has to compete according to the rules. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to have the first share of the crops. That is, you know, he put in the work, he ought to benefit from it. So these three things are put together for Timothy. Is the soldier needs to remain focused, the athlete needs to compete according to the rules, and the farmer needs to work hard but enjoy the fruits of his labor. Those three things apply to the Christian life. We need to be focused on serving Christ. We need to live our life according to the boundaries of the authority of God. And we need to work hard and also enjoy the fruits of that labor. Verse 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, I'm going to add to this also that Timothy was an evangelist, so there may be some in verse 6 talking about him being able to get his living from preaching the word as well. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, is preached in my gospel for which I am suffering. I don't think Timothy was in any danger of forgetting Jesus. However, he is reminding him, stay focused, don't be distracted. And from what I read here, there may have been some problems that Timothy was dealing with. And because of that, it's easy to get distracted by problems and you forget your first principles of living in Christ, and those things become a problem for you. So remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, and he's suffering for these things, bound with chains as a criminal. This is after he had been shipwrecked on his way to Rome, and then finally arrives in Rome, and we see in Acts chapter 28 when he meets with the Jews, and that he is preaching the gospel as we looked at in Philippians, even while he is in imprisonment. And at that time, he is even converting some of those of the household of Caesar. And so even though he's bound as a criminal, and even though he's suffering for the sake of Christ, he says the word of God is not bound. The word of God cannot be stopped. That's what he's telling them. Verse 10, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, he's not saying that's the only reason he does it. He does it because he's been tasked to do it by Christ. However, he is saying, this is one of the things that motivates me and pushes me forward and excites me even. Do we get excited at the prospect of a soul coming to Christ? Do we have some excitement over the opportunity to teach the Word of God to somebody else in whatever capacity we might have the opportunity, or even to bring somebody to one of the elders or a preacher or somebody that can sit down and teach them as well? So he does all of this for the sake of the elect, that is, those who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The saying is trustworthy: if we've died, we will live. If we endure, we will reign. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So for the if we have died with him, I'd point you towards Romans 6 and verse 8. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Then verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Again, I'd point you towards Romans chapter 8. This time verse 17. That we are heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. The latter part of verse 12 shouldn't surprise us. If we deny him, he will deny us. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And we need to realize that that's more than words that we speak. We can deny him by the life that we live. So we need to be very careful about whether we are confessing or denying Christ in the way that we live our lives. And don't get tripped up with verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He's not saying that if we go back into sin that he's still going to save us. No, what he's saying is his faithfulness is not dependent on whether we are faithful at all. After all, he just said if we deny him, he will also deny us. So there's no possibility that we could live in willful sin and still be saved. No, we would be thrown out. We would be denied entry into the eternal abode of God. And so he will remain faithful despite whether we are faithful or not. But faithfulness for Jesus is faithful to his word, faithful to his promises. One of those promises is, again, he will deny us if we've denied him. So he says, remind them of these things. You know, make sure that people remember. And we do need reminders. I mean, we preach lessons in which we go over things that we've talked about before, not because we can't come up with anything to say, but because there's a need for repetition. Repetition helps us to remember things, to get them solid in our memory. And sometimes we do need to remember and be reminded because, well, we've gotten a little distracted or we've forgotten something and we need to redouble our efforts in order to be faithful. Don't quarrel about words. We talked about that with the book of Titus. It says it does no good, but it ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. And the whole idea of approved is that there's some sort of a testing process. There's a standard to meet. You pass the test. Now, that standard is based on the Word of God. Are you working toward fulfilling your ministry, fulfilling your service, fulfilling your role as a Christian, whatever your position might be? Do your best to present yourself to God as one who has passed that test, with no need to be ashamed, but rightly handling the word of truth, which you have to know in order to rightly handle. Avoid irreverent babble. Well, that's similar to the quarrel about words. It will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Unfortunately, I've seen this firsthand. I've seen people that begin to question things, and those questions just grow and grow because they can't find any answers. In some cases, it was because they were asking questions that did not have an answer, but they demanded one. And in other cases, they were things where they would not accept the plain truth for the answer to their questions. And it eventually led them away from the faith altogether. And he mentions a couple of people that do this. And he says, you need to deal with it. It spreads like gangrene. In other words, they create doubts in others as well. They have swerved from the truth, even going so far as to say that the resurrection has already happened. Well, that would be upsetting to some. We're looking forward to a resurrection in which we're brought home to be with God, and then somebody says, no, it's already happened. I guess we missed out. Yeah, I would be distressed if I believed that. So yeah, it would be a problem that he needed to deal with. But God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Live according to the word of God. Thank you for listening today. Please come back tomorrow. We'll finish chapter 2 and start in on chapter 3. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.